Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to thank Steve for stepping up and leading our congregation in those two special songs there. Thank you, Steve. Tremendously done. Appreciate that. This morning, we're going to be looking at God's grace, or grace more than abundant, which was read here in this passage of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful and putting me in service. Now, there's three things that Paul pointed out right here, and I hope you picked up on them. He strengthened him. He considered him to be faithful. And he put him into service. There's three things right there in that one verse. But it didn't stop there. He goes on in verse 13. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet, for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be forever and ever. And then he says, amen. God's grace is amazing, isn't it? And if you could take the words G-R-A-C-E, grace, an acronym of that, you could define it as God's riches at Christ's expense. You got that? God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, Paul, I want to be talking about Paul and him saying that he was unworthy for God's grace and mercy. But because of God's riches at God's expense, he paid the price for the penalty of sin, didn't he? He sure did. I don't know how much history you have read in the past on the past wars, World War I, II, Korean War, Vietnam War, Pearl Harbor, all of these. And we often wonder, how in the world can anything good come out of those tragic situations of war, war itself? In a minute, I'll share with you the one leader of Japan that led the war, or led the ones that flew into Pearl Harbor. He was the chief person, and how God used him at the very end, or how God prepared him and showed him the way. Just like John Newton. You know, John Newton was a captain of a ship. And he used to transport slaves from Africa here to the United States. And in the transporting, oftentimes, if the seas got rough, they, instead of unloading cargo, throwing it overboard, they would often take slaves, weigh them down, and throw them into the water to make the ship lighter. Later, after that, God touched him in such a way, he convicted him. And you know, Paul says, I was the most wretched sinner of all sinners. And he was comparing himself to anybody that ever existed. And now we would look at Newton, John Newton, and what he did to slaves. How in the world would God show mercy and grace to people like this? Well, you see, God's love is so great because he said, for anyone who is willing to confess their sins, I will show them mercy and grace. You know, this is a story of Paul that just warms your heart. Because in Acts chapter 7, beginning somewhere around verse 58, the Bible says that Paul was standing at the scene where Stephen was about to be stoned. Actually, he encouraged it. And the soldiers and those came and laid clothing right at Paul's feet. And he condoned it. He was for it. He encouraged it. And they stoned Stephen. And the Bible says that the church was scattered. And sometimes we think they're scattered, they were afraid, so they was running to the hills. They were getting out of Jerusalem because they didn't want to be next. But you see, Stephen's testimony, as he stood in the presence of all those that stoned him, he looked up at God and he said, God, my spirit I released to you. They stoned him, he died. And of course, we know where Stephen went. We know where he is today. And the church went out proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because they knew that with Stephen's testimony, they had an obligation, a responsibility to take what Stephen had been teaching and his testimony and pass it on. Even though men like Saul at that time was a persecutor, a murderer of the church of Jesus Christ, they had an obligation, responsibility to take the gospel outside of Jerusalem. And that's what they did. So, Paul, in his ways of destroying the church or trying to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know the story. As he was on the road to Damascus, he was given permission to go to Damascus and bring Christians, men, women, back to Jerusalem, put them on trial, persecute them, or do whatever. And you know, if something was to happen on the way back that they didn't get back, he was sure that it would be dismissed if they didn't make it back because he was a persecutor. But we know that on his way to Damascus, he didn't hardly get there, did he? He didn't make it. God stopped him right in his tracks. And the Bible says a voice from heaven said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul, or Saul, at that time, he said, Lord, Lord. And see, he already recognized the voice. Now all the soldiers and those with Saul, they heard the voice. They didn't see anyone, but they heard the voice. And they was afraid. They was confused. And Paul was blinded right there on the road to Damascus. The men helped him up, and he said, go back to Jerusalem, and there you will meet a man, Ananias. So they picked Saul up, and they took him back. And in the meantime, the Bible says that God spoke to Ananias and said, you know, there's a man who is praying right now. His name is Saul. And as he prays, he is praying that he be led to Ananias, because I had placed that in his heart. And Ananias, you know, you think about Ananias. Now here he is, a follower of God. He's a believer. And he's thinking, okay, God, you want me to talk or to entertain a man like Saul? Everybody knows what he does. Everybody is afraid of him. Why me? And God said, you know, you'll be okay. Right now he's praying, and he's seeking me. And I want you to go to him. I want you to lay hands on him, that he might be healed, because I have a purpose for Paul, and he's going to suffer much for me, for my sake. And as the Bible says, that as Ananias met up with Paul, he laid his hands on him and he prayed for him. And the Bible says that it's like scales that fell from his eyes, and he was healed. And the Bible says that then Paul was baptized, and that he received the Holy Spirit. You see, all of this happened for a reason. You see, God saw something good in Saul. He sees something good in our lives. Just like John Newton, who wrote the song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was, what? Lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You see, he was saying, I can see spiritually now. I can see my sins. And he would be like Paul saying, now I put all that behind me, and now I'm moving on the road of glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. Menemetso Felicenda was the one who led the raid on Pearl Harbor. He was the highest ranking officer in the Japan Air Force. And he led 360 airmen to the attack on Pearl Harbor. He is the only one who returned from that attack out of 360. And when he got back to the aircraft carrier, which he landed his plane on, he took an evaluation of his own plane, and he saw 20 huge artillery holes in his plane. And one of those shells pierced his cable, his steering cable, and was only holding on by a thin wire. And it, not being religious, he began to think then, man, how come me? How come I was spared from this? He was in another raid at Midway. He was shot down. He was wounded. And therefore, after a time of healing and everything, he realized again, why me? How come I survived this? And then he was on the aircraft carrier deck, I mean, down below. And when the United States attacked this aircraft carrier, many of his comrades were killed. And he was able to get up to the top deck, and when a bomb went off and it blew him into the air, he came down, hit the deck, and he broke both legs. And everyone there on that ship who he was a part of died from that. And again, he survived that. And again, not being religious, but thinking, why was my life spared? I could share many other things that occurred to him as well. But after the war ended, and it was because of Jacob Desir, who began to pray. He was a prisoner of war in 1945, and he began to pray, God, in this war. He met up with Metamiso, and he had read his book, Jacob's book, about I was a prisoner of war in Japan. And Metamiso, he asked some of his comrades, how were they treated? And he said, well, it was treated fairly well. And he also met a girl named Peggy Culver, who was a daughter of a missionary who their parents were killed during the war because of their belief in Jesus Christ. And after reading this and talking to her, and he decided he would buy a Bible. He bought a Bible, he read it, and he became so convicted that he fell on his knees and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, you see how God's grace works? You know, for many years, as I've thought about, you know, Pearl Harbor and some of these wars, I thought, how in the world could anything good come from this? But when you see God's hand in all the things that goes on within the world, all the good that comes out, you see men like Metamiso and John Newton and Paul, how that his grace was extended to them and how his grace extended to us, that he is able to preserve us, change our mind. You see, Paul, his life was transformed. You see, because of God's grace and his love, Paul was able to see things God's way. And today, as we think about the grace that God extends each one of us, we think, you know, I've not ever committed anything to that magnitude, you know, murder or steal or persecuted anyone, maybe harsh words or something like that. But as little as we think our sins are, in comparison, they are equal to any sin that is committed by the worst person in this world. Would you agree? And it's because of God's grace that any of us are able to be saved. So when we think about what the scripture said here in verse 12, let no one, oh, I'm sorry, wrong verse. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me. You see, throughout Paul's ministry, like the Bible says, he suffered much for the cause of Christ. And if any of us, understanding God's grace, and are willing to go out and witness and share our faith, we too may suffer for the cause of Christ, right? And you might think, well, not like Paul did, or not like some of the prophets and the disciples did. They were killed for their faithfulness and for their witness and their testimony. But we think suffering is just somebody saying, hey, back off. And that's enough for some people to say, okay, I won't share it with no one else. And you see, it's not us that people are, you know, turning their hands up or saying no to. It's Jesus Christ. See, we are the instruments. And the Bible says from the moment that Paul was cleansed and received the Holy Spirit, he went out into the world, into his world, which he was ministering, and he said, truly, God is truth. Truly, Jesus is the Son of God. And you see, Paul said, he strengthened me. He gave me the strength. He restored me. He restored me physically, and he restored me spiritually. And now I have the strength, not on my own. Now I am a witness for Christ. I'm no longer a murderer or persecutor of the church. Now I'm with Christ. I'm on his team. I'm in the army of Christ. Onward, Christian soldiers. That would be Paul's testimony. Now, again, Paul said, because he considered me faithful. Now, Paul thought he was being faithful when he was persecuting the church. He thought that's what he was to do, because he was authorized by the high priest to go out and get people who were worshiping Jesus and bring them in and put them in jail and murder them if necessary. But now he says, you know, now he has found me faithful because I have accepted him. I have turned against my old ways and accepted the ways of Christ. So not only did he strengthen him, but he found him faithful. And then he said he put me into service. Many tragic things has happened to many people throughout the years. And it was a wake-up call to them. And they decided, okay, maybe this is a calling in my life to do something for the Lord. But it don't always have to be that way. It wasn't that for me. I just knew down in my heart that Christ was calling me to become a pastor. You know, I didn't do any of the persecuting or any of that thing in my life or anyone else that I know of. But you take men like this, it's a demonstration of God's grace and mercy in our life. That he is willing to take you where you are, look at your life, help you do a self-examination, evaluation of our life, turn our perspective around, give us strength, and when he finds us faithful, and then he'll put us into service. And see, here today, he's wanting to put each and every one of us into service. He's wanting to enlist us into his kingdom. And I don't think we take that serious enough sometimes, do we? We come to church and we worship and we sing. We do all the things that we know that we're supposed to do. But how many of us are like Paul is saying, he found me faithful and he placed me in service? God doesn't call everyone to be pastors and teachers and evangelists and so forth, but every one of us here today are called to be ministers of some sort. Amen. He has called us. And you know, it shouldn't have to be in a situation that we get struck down by lightning or see a bright light or something tragic happens to us to get our attention. It is understanding the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that he loved us so great that we should just fall at the sound of his voice. In reading his word, as we allow his word to illuminate our heart and we just glean from the scriptures, and just hearing the sound of it, just like Mr. Misso, who read the Word of God after all the missions, and he survived, and all of the things that he committed against humanity, realized God must have his hand upon my life. You see, he wasn't religious at all. But going through what he went through, thousands of people under his command were killed. And yet he realized, like Paul, you know, God must have his hand on my life. And you see, God has his hand on every one of our lives, doesn't he? And many of us say, I don't know my purpose. I don't know what God's will is for my life. But I'm telling you here today, if you are a Christian, if you carry the name of a Christian, then it is our responsibility to know and understand what the will of God is. And if you really want to know what the will of God is, then you and I got to sit down or be still, pray earnestly with all of our heart, and say, God, what is your will and purpose for me? And I promise you, God will answer that prayer. You might not do it immediately. It might not happen the first time you pray. It might be that God wants to see how sincere and honest you are in that prayer. I really want to know, God, what do you want me to do? What kind of service? What kind of ministry do you want me to be involved in? What is it in this life? How could I impact or do something for the kingdom of God? You see, we read on into verse 18, and Paul begins to talk to Timothy, encouraging him. You know, take what God has entrusted to you. Take what had been passed along to you and make good use of it.
Amen.
You know, oftentimes I use my grandfather, Robert H. Hale, pastor, farmer. You know, a good man. A good man. I don't know. I never did a crossword or hear anything from him as far as I'm concerned, he was a perfect man that walked this earth. But I know that he wasn't, because I saw him going about leading people to Jesus Christ, praying with them and talking with them and helping them any way he could. But see, he wasn't perfect either. But God touched his life in such a way that everyone who came in contact with him was blessed. Everyone who knew him. And you see, when you think about the life of Paul and John Newton and the men of Misso, if everybody from the point that God transformed their life and changed their life, somebody who knew them knew something was different about that life. And as you go about every day in your life, when you talk with God, when you meet with God, and when you go out into the public, everybody is going to look at you and say, there is something different about that person. They see that you're faithful. They see that you're serving. You're doing something for the cause of Christ. And you see, it don't take long for people to realize, hey, you know, God has changed that person. God has changed that person for the good. And oftentimes we see people on fire for the Lord. They're really doing everything they can for the Lord, and then something just happens, or just for a day or two or a week, they take their eyes off the Word of God, and they quit praying. And then they start drifting. And then sometimes we say, well, what happened? We see, it's when we quit committing and surrendering daily to the Lord that we begin to drift. Now Paul, he encouraged Timothy, Timothy, I encourage you to stir up the gift that God has given you. You see, God has given each one of us a gift to use for His honor and glory. He has given us a gift of mercy, a gift of kindness, a gift of giving, a gift of serving, a gift of teaching, a gift of proclaiming. I could go on and on and on. And many of us, and many of you here today, maybe use that in some way. But you see, the more we use it, the more those around us will be blessed. And more you use your gift, the more the kingdom of God will open and share out His blessings upon you and those around you. You know, I was looking at verse 17, and I was just thinking, you know, Paul said all of these things. In verse 16, I found mercy so that in me as foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life. And look at verse 17. You know what that says to me? Then Paul rings out in a song. It's a song. You think about it. Then he says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, that's a song. Paul broke out in a song there at the end, realizing the King, the glory, forever and ever and ever. Because He strengthened me. He found me faithful. And then He put me into service. A wretched sinner like me. You know? And when we think the life that we've been given, that we're living, and the blessings and our needs that He has met us with, and we hadn't committed any of these things that Paul has mentioned, we ought to be thankful, Lord. Thank You for the life that You have given me and put me where I am in the family I was raised up in and the place where I'm serving, the church that I serve, the community I live in, the people that I'm around, the people that You put around me. Thank You. And help me to be more faithful. You see me faithful, but help me to be more faithful and give me the strength to carry on, to carry out the calling You've placed in my life. Thank You for putting me in service. You see, if we look at it that way, then we can sing a song like Paul there too, can't we, in verse 17. No, it's important that we take serious what God has given us. We ought to cherish it. We should frame it and say, Lord, thank You, and may it ever be a reminder to me of Your grace and Your mercy. Because you see, there He said, abundant grace. The abundant grace. In verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which is found in Christ Jesus. More abundant. And He was saying, for me, it's more abundant because who I am and who I was. But now, thank God, I've been transformed. I've been changed for the better. I pray that you, this year, thinking about God's grace and His mercy, we'll consider, okay, Lord, what can I do? How can I serve You more faithfully? Give me the strength. Give me the understanding to know exactly what You want me to do this year for You. If You'll do that, it's unlimited of the resources that God will pour out in Your behalf. I promise you, if you'll do that, we'll see God just flood our life with abundant growth, spiritually, individually, and in the church. Let us pray. Father, thank you this morning for your grace. And as Paul says, your abundant grace. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to be our Savior. I thank you, Lord, this morning that you give us the gifts. You fill us with your Holy Spirit. You challenge us. You open doors of opportunity for us. And I pray this morning that we will accept your challenges, the task that you lay before us. Give us the strength and understanding. May we be found faithful, like Paul would say. And put us in service to help one another, to reach out in our community and to our own family. May we be that witness. May we be that testimony that you're looking for. Lord, I thank you for everyone here today. We all come with various needs. We all come seeking your will and your purpose. Reveal that to us. May we be earnest and quick in asking you, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you personally as their Savior, may this be the day that they surrender, just like the ones I shared in this message, that found Jesus Christ, which made a difference in their life. Then it was a life worth living. Up till then, it didn't seem worthwhile. But after you come into our lives and we surrender to you, it makes all things new, all things better. We praise you and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 90.